Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. Amen. On July 4th, 2015, our family car came to an abrupt and unplanned stop on the side of the road. The car was a 1998 Subaru Forester. It was perfect for our then family of four. And even though it was almost two decades old, my father-in-law and I had given it a lot of attention and had high hopes that it could go quite far. Our only concern was if the timing belt should give out. It did. It was heartbreaking. I had just finished my first year of seminary. We were completely broke. And to top it all off, we were supposed to drive to Florida the following week in order for me to do an internship. We were sunk. 2 days later, I put a note on Facebook lamenting my loss. Within an hour, a friend who is an Episcopal priest in Albany, New York, contacted me. One of his parishioners was selling a Toyota Highlander, and he thought that considering the situation, that they might make us a deal. I told my friend that that was very generous, but we were completely broke. He offered to purchase the car and allow us to repay him as we were able. We then had another friend who is an Episcopal priest in Louisiana contact us and tell us that he'd told two of his parishioners about our situation and that they both wanted to give money to help buy a replacement vehicle. It ended up that the amount that they offered to give was the amount being asked for the Highlander. But even then, we were in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It was in Albany, New York, 500 miles away. We needed it right now. I called up my friend in Albany and told him that we'd been given the money but didn't have a way of getting the car from him. A few days later, he delivered the car to us and found another way home. Have you ever had one of those times when you just chuckle and say, how did that just happen? This feels like a dream. This was one of those times for us. Within hours, we went from destitute to equipped. We told the story to others, and they couldn't believe it. Your church would do this for you? What a testimony to God's power, providence, and the love and generosity of his people. We were glad indeed. Take a look with me at the first four verses of our psalm for this morning, Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed. The background for the joy experienced here is only alluded to, but the words trigger memories. What were the great things that the psalmist is writing about? Open nearly any page of the Bible and we find them. The Exodus from Egypt, how God delivered Israel from the Philistines, when the boy David killed the giant Goliath. The return of Israel from their exile and captivity in Babylon. Each act of God was an impossible miracle. There is no way it could have happened, and then it did. And when it did, it brought about joy. Joy has a history. Joy is the verified, repeated experience of those involved in what God is doing. 3 years later, we needed God to provide a vehicle again. With the addition of a third child, we transitioned from the Highlander to a minivan, but we knew that it would be a short-term solution. Short turned out to be shorter than we'd planned. A tire issue took us to the shop, and once the mechanic got the car up on jacks, he told us that we needed to find a new vehicle right now. Because the minivan had spent the entirety of its life in the snowy and salty north, the bottom was in imminent danger of rusting out and turning me into Fred Flintstone. I remember thinking, again, God? The psalmist in verse 5 of our psalm prays, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev." Israel had been miraculously delivered time and time again in the past, but yet another situation threatened to overwhelm them. And so the psalmist turned to prayer. The watercourses of the Negev is probably a foreign concept to most of us. The picture, though, is very vivid if you're familiar with the Negev. The Negev is a part of Israel. It's the southernmost portion, the portion that borders Egypt. It is a desert. The word that's translated watercourses in Arabic is a wadi. A wadi is a riverbed which is dry most of the year. You can see that water has flowed in it, but when rain has not fallen just within a few days, it dries up, and you just have the evidence that water once flowed through it. A dry wadi is a reminder of past action. In this place, at one time, a dramatic action occurred. A flash flood of water came through, cutting a path through the sand. But now there's only the bleak reminder of a dry riverbed. So in essence, the psalmist's prayer here in verse 5 is, "Do it again, God. We see evidence that you acted dramatically in the past. Do it again. Restore our fortunes." As investment commercials remind us, past performance is not indicative of future results. God provided once. Maybe it was a fluke. Could it be repeated? Would it be repeated? To a much smaller degree, that was my question when our minivan was about to give out. Will you restore our fortune, O God? Will you continue to provide? Will you act like you did in the past? God's answer to the psalmist is yes. He's going to act again, but in a different way. If his old actions could be compared with a flash flood, a sudden and unexpected event, his new one would be slower, more at the pace of a growing seed. In verses 6 and 7, the psalmist is promised, "Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves. It won't be instantaneous, but the crop will come in. There will be something to rejoice over." Fortunately for myself, God had a similar answer for us. Yes, he was going to provide a replacement vehicle, but in a different manner. By that point, God had provided the provision of me being one of your priests, and the vehicle would be provided involving work and car payments. It wouldn't be instant. It would be slow. It would be hard work. But it isn't as if God provided the first time, and then the second time it was up to me to make something happen. No, God provided the job that allowed us to purchase the vehicle. And we are just as joyful at God's providence as when it came unexpectedly and without our work. One of the mysteries of God's sovereignty is how sometimes he does his good work completely apart from anything that we do. And sometimes we get to work alongside of him, not as an equal, but as a child who helps bake cookies, pouring cups of sugar into the bowl, or mostly into the bowl. Whether God acts apart for us or whether he allows us to work alongside of him, the result for us is joy at what God has done, evidenced through laughter and song. Today we are celebrating the 25th Sunday after Pentecost. Even in our church calendar, we're living in this in-between time. Easter is way back in April. The kids couldn't remember how far Easter was. Yeah, that kind of happened a long time ago at the 9 o'clock service. Advent is close, but it's still a few weeks off. We remember how God miraculously worked at Easter, granting us forgiveness of our sins through the sacrificial death and bodily resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. It was dreamlike. We rejoiced at the unexpected way in which God restored our fortunes, forgave us of our sins, but that was a long time ago. The reality now looks more like a dry riverbed, perhaps. Perhaps we're confused, disturbed, tired, cynical, or afraid. We pray every week, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." But then we watch with horror as some are killed while participating in the peaceful act of worship. We pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." But loved ones battle cancer and medical bills mount. Restore our fortunes, O Lord. Maybe the investment commercials are right. Past performance is not indicative of future results. We're plodding along, but nothing seems to be happening. We're working in the fields, but nothing seems to be growing. We live our lives day after day, and nothing seems to be getting better. In fact, sometimes it seems like it's getting worse. Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho, we read. And as they're leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." In our gospel reading this morning, Bartimaeus epitomizes that of which the psalmist writes. How long had Bartimaeus been sitting alongside that roadside? How long had he waited for the words of Jeremiah to be fulfilled? "See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind, the lame, those with child, and those in labor. Together, a great company, they shall return here." Bartimaeus remembered God's acts of deliverance in the past and wondered if he could ever experience them for himself. Perhaps he prayed Psalm 126, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord." Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. In an instant his eyes are opened, his dream comes true, and he must have shouted with joy. But it doesn't end there. Immediately after regaining his sight, he follows Jesus on the way. Bartimaeus follows Jesus. Presumably, he follows him and cries out in anguish as Christ hangs on the cross. The good news, though, is that the cross was not the end. Psalm 126 tells us that in God's economy, past performance is indicative of future results. He is faithful. The seeds are growing. The body is maturing, whether we see it or not. And not because of us, but through us. Let us shout for joy. Let us sing for joy. Christ has died. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Christ will come again. Hallelujah.